I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Being an overcomer, so much better than being overcome. Right? Being a winner, so much better than being defeated, being a loser. And faith is the difference. God can help you through anything, but He requires some faith, that you look to Him, that you believe and trust Him, listen to Him. And so that's what Faith School is for, is for you and I to be built up and to be fed. And you can tell when something good is coming to you and coming into you, and when you believe it, you get excited every time, without exception. If you don't get excited, either it's not good or you don't believe it. One of the two. So are we believing together for something good?
Yes.
And we're going to believe it. Father, all of us agree together today is touching this and focusing on this. And we do. We are completely convinced that you are totally good. And your word is good, and everything you give us is good. And so we reach out for it today, and we thank you for it again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision now for a number of weeks. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And this is not just my opinion or somebody else's thought or opinion. These are scriptures. We're going one by one through them, establishing truths from the Word. And you know, God never changes. Ever how He was is how He is and how He will always be. And He's no respecter of persons. He won't do something good for one person and won't do it for you. That's not how He works. He's absolutely fair and perfectly just in everything that He does. And so we've given several now. We gave number one, the Lord's my shepherd. Number two, the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Then the creation of God, God's will in heaven, the God of Abraham, we're the seed of Abraham, the blessing of tithing. We've gone through eight of these already, and we're down to number nine, which is honor and riches. And though that might sound like things that don't normally go together in church people's mind, that's because religious tradition has replaced the Word. And we're in the process of getting our minds renewed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
About how the Lord has always seen these things. And it wasn't me that put these two words together. I'm referring to several specific scriptures and references that connect glory and wealth and splendor, or honor and riches. Bible. And we see one of them in Proverbs 3 that we've looked at several times. Proverbs 3:9, he said, honor the Lord with your substance. And we said that word substance is some 17 times in the same King James Bible translated riches or wealth. And the word honor is also translated glorify. Can you glorify the Lord with wealth?
Yes.
Can you glorify God with riches?
Yes.
Yes. It's always been that way. And people say, yeah, but you know, isn't money the root of all evil? No, it is not. Has never been. That's not a scripture. It's the love of money That's the problem. And you can love money and not have any. Well, if that's true, then you could have money and not love it. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to, you know, for God to use us as stewards of even substantial resources, but not idolize it and not cling to it. And certainly not do things by questionable means and compromise because we lust after something or long after something. But it's the money itself is not an evil thing. And nice things are not bad in and of themselves. In fact, a really nice thing is better than a not so nice thing. Yes. Huh? It takes years of theology to mess that up and confuse it. Now you're laughing, but that's what's happened. And so yesterday's class, we were talking about what happened with Solomon. The Bible said David, Solomon's father, when he died an old man, full of days and honor and riches. Honor and is that a good way to die?
Yes.
With a bunch of money?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. And leave, like Proverbs says, an inheritance to your children's children? Is that a godly thing?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Should you be believing for it?
Yes.
Well, if you believe it might be God for you to be broke and poor, you're not believing that. See, these two don't agree. So where did you get the idea that maybe God doesn't want me to have anything? Did you get that from God, or did you get that from some religious tradition idea of men that made the Word of God of no effect in your life? Now, what we see about Solomon is that, you know, Jesus referred to Solomon's glory. He said that, you know, the hills with all the flowers and all that, he said that even Solomon in all his glory was not as glorious as God's creation. But Jesus referred to Solomon's glory. Solomon's glory. Well, what's his glory? You'll see it in two big things. Wisdom and wealth, which much of the Proverbs talks about connected, right? Just like glory and riches are connected, wisdom and wealth are connected. Always have been. Now, talking about Solomon, I want us to look at that a little bit. Go with me over to 1 Kings. I believe it's the third chapter, 1 Kings 3. And see how this thing began and what it developed into. Solomon is David's son. David's greatly beloved of God. A man of faith and who loved God with all his heart. A man after God's own heart, David's called. And Solomon is also beloved of the Lord in many respects, following in his father's footsteps. Talking about especially at the time when David died and Solomon took the throne. And when that happened, when David passed on and Solomon is taking the leadership of the country, he prayed a prayer that's mentioned in 1 Kings 3:9. He said, give your servant, praying to God, Solomon praying to God, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who's able to judge this, your so great a people? Solomon, even though he has grown up in the royal house, he's had every advantage of education and every other kind of thing, yet he's been around godliness, David and others, enough to know that without God's help, he can't do it. Huh? Mm-hmm. He knows education ain't enough, whose son I am's not enough, all that. He said, God, what I'm asking from you as I take this responsibility, give me a heart that can distinguish and understand good from evil, right from wrong. So I can, isn't he saying, so I can lead this people the way you want me to lead them? Can you see that in there?
Yes.
If he's asking for the wisdom, the plan of God is part of the wisdom of God. Wisdom has to do with the future. And so he asks for it. And verse 12, the scripture says that the Lord was pleased with Solomon's prayer and his request. He said, "Behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like you." And, everybody reading? Are you watching? Are you listening? Yeah. "And I have given you what you didn't ask for." Yeah. "Both riches and honor." Do you see why I keep quoting that phrase? Riches and honor. Is that a Keith Moore phrase?
No.
Is that a wild-eyed prosperity preacher phrase?
No.
How about a God phrase?
Yes.
This is a direct quote of God himself speaking to Solomon, and he uses the term riches and honor. He said, "I'm going to give you that too." Well, he wouldn't give it to you if he didn't want you to have it, right? He wouldn't give it to you if it wasn't part of his plan and didn't benefit his plan and what he wants done. And so having done that, you were able to fast forward about, if you go to the 10th chapter of this, you'll see some of the results of this. How many like that prayer? If God was so pleased with that prayer, how about you and me pray it?
Amen.
What do you think?
Yes.
Come on, everybody say it out loud. Lord.
Lord.
Give me an understanding heart.
That I may
discern
between good and bad.
Right and wrong.
Fill me
with the knowledge of your will
in all wisdom
and spiritual understanding.
I ask for it
in Jesus' name.
Now,
let me say it again. What did when the Lord heard that kind of prayer, it made him happy.
He said, "I like it.
I like it, and I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for in that prayer, riches, both riches and honor."
So do you believe God heard you when you prayed that just now?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Do you believe he's no respecter of persons?
Yes.
That he'd be pleased for you praying that prayer just like back then?
Yes.
Has he changed, or is he the same as he was back then? He has not changed.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, he said, "Solomon, you didn't ask for this, but it comes with."
Yes.
Huh? Huh? It comes with.
Yes.
Well, did you just ask for it too?
Yes.
Well, guess what comes with?
Yes.
What comes with?
Yes.
How could you tell if you believed it? There would be some excitement, some anticipation. You'd be like, "Wow." Because boy, it sure worked good for him.
Amen.
In the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter. Verse 1 says, "When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord." See, now don't miss that part. She heard about the Lord and Solomon's connection with the Lord. She came to prove him, or you could say test him. She came to test him with hard questions. Now, she's a queen. And from all indications, south of Israel in that area. This would be down in North Africa probably, somewhere down in there. And she's a queen. And like we were saying about Jesus and the wise men the other day, she came, the Bible said, with a very great train. Now this is not a locomotive train, this is a camel train, it's a desert train. And these are camels and donkeys and people loaded with stuff, goods. Notice they don't call them bads. Because they're not bads. They're what? They're goods. See, when people sing those songs, "I don't want any of this old world's goods." You don't want something good? Doesn't make sense. But so here,
after, you know, Solomon has prayed this prayer, this was years back, and God has given him his answer to his prayer and given him wisdom. The Bible said he had understanding like the seashore breadth. And, you know, something interesting about his wisdom and understanding, he wrote thousands of proverbs and poems and songs, and he spoke about trees and plants. He saw the wisdom of God in God's creation. Whether you see it or not, there is enormous wisdom in a flower. Hmm? Enormous knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Most people just see, ooh, ain't it pretty? They don't see it. But what it took to create that and make that is the wisdom of God. And what happened with Solomon is God opened up his insides and his eyes to see some things that God had made and to understand it. And then he applied that to everything in life, to his reign. Well, because of that, he had flourished. I mean, he had, nobody wanted to fight him. He was so powerful. He was so rich. He had peace on every corner, and his kingdom just kept expanding and enlarging and being more and more glorious. And they heard about it way down there in North and Central Africa, which back in those days was a long ways away, right? Because, you know, how long does it take to get from Ethiopia to Israel by camel? Better take your lunch with you, brother. But word had spread all over the known world. This is not an exaggeration. I'm quoting scripture now. The Bible said people sought from all over the earth to hear Solomon's wisdom. This was all over the known planet. And so here she comes. She keeps hearing all of these things, and she's like, I got to go see for myself. So she takes all of her entourage and all of her security and all of her camel train and her donkey train, and they show up at Solomon's palace. And she had prepared questions to ask him and see if she could stump him. Huh? Is he really as smart as they say he is? Does he really know all the stuff I've heard about? I got to go check this out. She was skeptical. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold, and boy, they ain't exaggerating. If you look up the numbers, tons of gold. Tons. Tons. And precious stones. What's that? Diamonds, rubies, emeralds. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. She hit him with the hardest question she had. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. There was not one question she asked him that he said, I'll have to check on that. Now that's saying something, brother. Because she's a queen. She's an educated woman to even be able to do this. And yet there wasn't one item that she asked him about that when he answered it, she didn't go, that's right. That's it. That's the answer. And I don't know, I'm guessing they talked for hours. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house he had built, and the house.
Yes.
See, now we talk, Jesus referred to Solomon's glory. And I mentioned to you, I believe that you see that in two big things. One's the wisdom. And the other is the wealth, which Proverbs goes to great length to show you how the two are connected, wisdom and wealth. And when she saw the house, Now, she don't live on the side of the road. Right? She's a queen. Right? Where does the queen live? In the palace, in the castle. Wherever it is, it's the nicest place in their area. Right? Queen dresses good. Eats good. Queen has jewelry. How is she able to haul tons of gold to come see him? She's a wealthy, powerful individual. And when she saw his house, she thought, man, I thought my house was nice, but would you look at this? Why am I talking about this? Is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is the Bible holding this up to us to go, that just makes me sick? All that opulence, all that money spent on all that stuff, that just makes me sick. Do you ever find anywhere in the scripture where it tells you to say, or a man of God said, that makes me sick? That's religious tradition. Despising something God said is glorious and good. What a, you know, break away from truth. To despise and be disgusted by something that Jesus said was glorious. Can you see this? The Queen of Sheba's going, wow, this is something. I mean, when they got there and they came into the palace and they came into Solomon's place, they were overawed. And then, and when they reminded themselves why they came, and she hits him with all these questions and grills him for all these hours, and he answered everything that she said. She was even more awed by the wisdom of God. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. And when she saw Solomon's wisdom, she saw the house that he had built, and the meat, the food on his table, and the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. You know? She's like, whew. Let me sit down. The complete Jewish says, after the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, the palace he had built, the food on his table, the manner of seating of his officials, the manner in which his staff served him, how they were dressed. Has the world lost some things?
Yes.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. How they were dressed, his personal servants, the burnt offering he offered in the house of the Lord, it left her breathless. And she's a queen. This is describing splendor. This is describing magnificence. And God connects it to glory. Right? Glory. There have been people that have come to grasp the idea in their mind that, well, no, the broker we are that somehow glorifies God. No, no, not true. God made nice things,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
He made nice things. You know, if God didn't like nice things, the streets in heaven would not be gold.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. It would not. There wouldn't be all that jewelry and all those things up there. Well, in verse 6, the Queen of Sheba said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and your wisdom. Howbeit, I didn't believe the words till I came, and my eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. The wisdom and the prosperity exceeds the fame that I heard. Hallelujah. The wisdom and the prosperity is what Jesus called glory. Now, listen to this. In verse 18, it said, the king made a great throne of ivory. That's the whole throne is ivory. Overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had six steps, and the top of the throne was round and stays. There were 12 lions stood on one side and on the other six steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. All of his drinking vessels were gold, and the vessels of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. None were silver. It was accounted nothing in the days of Solomon. He used gold as a primary building material. Glory to God. Can you see the connection between glory and riches and glory and magnificence? It's not a bad thing. Loving it is a bad thing. Being willing to lie and steal is a bad thing. Well, our time's up again today. Say it out loud. I love God.
I love God.
Lord, get glory to yourself in my life, including in riches and wealth. In Jesus' name. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I sure enjoyed being with you again this week. I really have the sense that we're getting mind renewal, that we're getting rid of some tradition, and the truth will make you free. And the real revelation of truth concerning these things is that money is not bad. Nice things are not bad. It's the covetousness that's the problem. It's the idolatry that's the problem. The scripture says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you'll put Him first and not love things and not lie and steal and that kind of thing, and get it the right way, He'll let you have nice things to enjoy. And the more you have, the more blessing you can be to others. I know a number of you are partners with us and pray for us, believe with us, even sow into us. And others of you can be if you want to join. The information is there. And that gives us a right to pray over you and speak over you concerning these things. Father, I do. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak over all of our partners, and I say every good seed that they've sown into us, cause it to come back to them, Lord, multiplied, harvest coming back into their lives just where they need it, just where they desire it. And Lord, as they believe this with us, cause them to enjoy some nice things. Help them to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Give them connections and ability and access to enjoy some nice things in you and get glory to your name and your things when people see your goodness in their lives. Hallelujah. Well, I know God hears our prayers. I'm expecting that for you. There's a lot more to say about this. Come back next week. We're going to get further and further into this, and we've got a lot more reasons to go, you know. But man, this is pushing, the truth is pushing all the fear and doubt out. We'll see you again soon, back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.